With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's time to get your checking account to zero with free checking from PenFed. That's zero ATM fees, zero balance requirements, and zero time spent waiting for your paycheck to direct deposit because you can receive it up to 2 days early. Open your account with just $25 and see how big zero can be. Apply online today at PenFed.org/free checking. Early direct deposit eligibility may vary between pay periods and timing of payer's funding. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Hello, welcome to the first FYP podcast of the summer.
We weren't really planning one,
but big news has happened.
Big news has happened.
And before we get into that, I'm going to introduce the pod team today and the pod sponsors. So, first of all, we've got Kevin Day.
Hello.
Hello. Ed Knight.
Hello.
And returning for, second appearance, Jesse Boyce.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I understand Andy Street is touring the Ladbrokes of South London trying to get his Sean Dyche money back, is that right?
I think so, yeah. That's blown the news.
That's why he's got the hump big time. No, it could be other managers. He's got the hump big time about you know who.
Do you think any of our listeners are listening to this going, we've got a new manager, what's going on?
Okay, before we talk about the new manager, let's talk about our sponsors, of course. It's still the same guys.
We've got the same sponsors.
Yeah. It's Vector Printing. For all your print and embroidery needs, go to vector.co.uk. And that's Vector with a
K.
Nice. And JCIS, the Global Research and Brand Consultancy from South London. Visit JC hyphen... Oh, who's going to do it? Okay, visit JC-IS.com.
I will.
Oh, very good.
Like he was in the room.
You let a little bit of the magic out there, though, didn't you, by going, who's going to do it?
I hadn't prepped it.
It's like we're making this up as we go along.
Would we do that?
Well, you might do, because you weren't available for the events of the day, because you were playing man football golf.
Just foot golf.
No, that's our new sponsor, isn't it?
Foot golf.
I won, and it was great. Even knowing
there's a press conference coming up.
Yeah.
Probably the most important press conference. You decided to go out and play man golf.
It was a fast news day, Jedi. Yeah.
In your county, there's more golf courses than housing.
That's not my choice.
Well, still.
You're utilising it.
So, you're implicit in the conspiracy.
In my defence, it wasn't a surprise. We knew it was going to happen today. We knew the news, even though Andy was hoping it was going to be Sean Dyche.
So you knew what the news was going to be announced today, and you still booked in the golf.
Didn't need to watch it, did I? Well, I booked in the foot golf before it was announced. Anyway, the announcement was...
Okay. You don't have to book it in. No one else is playing it, is it?
That's a fair point. I didn't book it. We just turned up. Frank de Boer. New Palace manager. New Palace manager. My first question to you guys is, it's almost 5 weeks exactly since Sam Allardyce left. Was it worth the wait?
Feels like longer.
Worth the wait? It's Frank de Boer.
Yes, of course it was worth the wait.
2014, we appointed Neil Warnock as our manager.
Yeah.
It's Frank de Boer. The Frank de Boer. I mean, even when it was first mentioned a couple of weeks ago in the press, you just laugh and go, well, that's obviously just
a rumour. Yeah.
File that with Mancini and Pellegrini. It's not Frank de Boer's not going to come to
Pellegrino.
Pellegrino.
It's like
Pellegrini as well, the big one.
It's like was that not Pellegrino? That was a mix up, wasn't it?
Even so.
That was a Sky Sports mix up. That's
the level that we thought Frank de Boer was.
It's the same level of rumour that we didn't think was possible. It's amazing. I mean, considering our recent history and who we are, it's a tremendous appointment.
Does it, Jesse, make you? How did you feel when Allardyce went? And did you think you'd be feeling this way, depending on how it is? Now.
Well,
terrible question.
Depending on how he feels.
Well, I'm sure he feels.
How do you feel, Jesse? And did you think you would be feeling this way when you felt it beforehand?
All right, we've had a few weeks off. I'm a bit rusty. My point is, I think we all felt quite down when Allardyce left.
Yes.
But I think we've ended up getting a better deal.
Well, we were sort of thinking, well, what relief. We've stayed up. We've got a summer where we can actually relax for once. And then, of course, Palace being Palace,
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah.
But I think that, yes, it's, so we've been well versed in how to deal with that disappointment. Mm. But I think with De Boer, I think Kev's right. It feels a bit like the Kabay. It's like the managerial equivalent of the Kabay one-off saga that summer. What was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Where everyone was in disbelief thinking that won't happen.
Yeah.
And now it has. Well, it's not unlike Parrish to kick the tyres where he's got the opportunity to do it. He'll do it with players like he did Benteke last year, like he took a month to get Pulis in. It's not unlike him to, you know, take the time that he's got available. I think he's probably thought, well, I've got until pre-season starts to do this. And that's exactly what's happened.
Exactly. I mean, Marco, everyone's, why have we waited so long? Marco Silva's been Watford manager for a month. What's he done? Bought somebody from Derby.
Yeah.
Big deal. You know, as long as you've got a manager before, and it's quite clear he's been working towards it. But we talked after the Allardyce disappointment, that podcast we did.
Yeah.
We talked about the next appointment being really crucial because it will show whether we're content just to stay in the division or whether it's time to kick on ambition-wise. And you couldn't get a bigger statement of intent.
Ambition
you could have gone from, I mean, everyone, I think we all assumed, I certainly did, that it would be Sean Dyche because Steve Parrish's history is that he goes for an older British manager and he's gone for the opposite. He's gone for the slightly left-field, really ambitious appointment.
Do you think Dyche wouldn't have been a statement of intent then? That wouldn't have been kicking on?
No, it would be more of the same. It would have been, we've try and get as a like-for-like thing for Big Sam.
Mm-hmm. And just a younger Big Sam.
Yeah, just a bit of a younger Big Sam.
And if Dutch had played for us, we would have gone for him.
Yeah, I think so.
I think De Boer's a great appointment, and it doesn't take away from the Palace-ness, considering the Sugar Hill Gang singing and the fact that Stephen Browett tweeted a picture of Tasty Jerk saying white smoke was erupting.
that was
brilliant.
Whoever was responsible for that video on the Palace feed, that was very funny. The white smoke coming from Tasty Jerk.
That was quite good.
I had to explain it to a lot of Protestants, but you know, it's still a very good image.
Is De Boer our most high profile manager ever?
Well, do you know what's interesting? Is my dad made this point. It's slightly, I vaguely remember it, but it is a little bit like when Malcolm Allison came to Palace in the 70s, because that was such a complete sea change to what we'd had. We'd had the most unflamboyant manager you could possibly have for 5-6 years. And then Malcolm Allison,
Burt Head,
who did a great job keeping us up. And then Malcolm Allison appeared from Mount Olympus with, and just in terms of PR, just changed the image of the club completely. Now, the downside to that is that he got us relegated 2 seasons running. But in terms of recovery, I think this is...
Well, they were different managers at different times in their career.
This is simply... I think this is the biggest thing that's happened to Palace since I've been supporting them, without a doubt. I mean, this is the Frank De Boer. It's one of the most sought-after coaches. And people talk about Inter Milan, and I'm sure we'll talk about later.
Talk about Ajax, Inter Milan, but
Inter Milan wanted him. Inter Milan, he was the most sought-after coach in Europe, for all sorts of reasons, for his work with young players, for his coaching experience.
Johnny Esther.
I think some Palace fans will always look for something to complain about, and I think some Palace fans don't quite realise the level of manager that we've jumped to.
Yeah,
to be perfectly fair.
And again, it's in, not just that Kabay comparison, but it's in keeping with Palace's sort of trend to go for people with great reputations, but maybe a bit out of fashion, a little bit out of the spotlight. So we've done.
Well, he needs this job, doesn't he? He needs it to go well.
And that's a really interesting parallel, Jesse, because Allardyce needed to redeem his reputation in the same way that De Boer does. You wouldn't have thought De Boer necessarily choose Palace to do it, but obviously he was linked with Tottenham a couple of years back, linked with Everton a couple of years back, and was honest enough to admit that he didn't think he was ready for the Premier League.
Mm-hmm. Now turned down Liverpool as well, didn't
he? Now clearly does think he's ready for the Premier League, and it is, like he said, I admire De Boer saying, Palace are an historic club and everyone knows, across the world, knows about their reputation with their fans, but he wants to get into the Premier League. And if in 2 years' time that means he wants to go to Man United, Liverpool, fine, I don't really mind. We'll be a better club because of it. And I think it's a really imaginative, really exciting appointment.
Was it... Is it an un-Palace? I'm just thinking, just as you said that, I thought, that kind of sounds un-Palace. We never do this, do we?
It is Palace now. This is the Man Bet Palace.
It's on Steve Parrish, considering the managers.
Yeah,
he's appointed.
It's a bold appointment, isn't it?
Yeah.
You think?
I think it's the sensible one. It's not. I think it would have been bold to appoint a manager. I like him, but like Dyche, I think that would have been bold because we should have aspirations bigger than that and not just sort of settle or go for what is Palace or what is
How many managers
normal.
Have we had where if you're a player who's got no association with the club or the or that manager, would go, I'd like to play for him.
Mm.
That's not really ever been the case.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably well, not, also, yeah. I think you only have to look at the news feeds today to see every single country in the world is it's a massive appointment in terms
big
of
news,
profile.
Yeah.
It's big news. And that's a, again, that's a good point from Jesse in terms of attracting players. I mean, Allardyce, mm-hmm. I think, found it easier than previous Palace managers to attract mm-hmm. players. People will want to play for Frank de Boer. Yes, people already at the club will want to play for Frank de Boer.
Ronald's saying he'll have us emulate in Barcelona.
Well, Ronald, again, is another attractive loose cannon part of the deal because Ronald can't keep
his
mouth
shut. Yeah.
He's not coming though, is he?
No, but in terms of his Twitter comments and his talk sport, he's all over the place.
It's like the two Bentecos. You can't.
Yeah. It's getting really confusing every weekend, de Boer says. It's like, which one?
Just briefly then, we probably should take a minute just to think about Jonathan Benteke, who has left the club.
I want to thank him for
this summer. Shall we just have a minute
for me?
Yeah.
Just to. Okay. So.
Yeah. But also Johnny Williams, who hasn't left the club.
No, signed a new deal. Yeah.
And also, it was interesting that Parrish named him specifically in his press conference today.
Did he? I wouldn't know.
Well, you were playing foot golf.
Yeah.
It's a knockout, whatever. So I mean, that's.
Well, that's.
But it does make you wonder how long this deal has been.
Bubbling away
because Ed and I both said when Johnny Williams signed his new contract,
Sammy Lee that had prompted that.
Yeah, could be.
But that was a really odd thing for suddenly out of the blue for Johnny Williams to be signing a new contract.
Someone else signed a new deal as well.
Well, a couple of people, like Delaney and Speroni did at the end of the season, but Johnny Williams,
Okay, well, that's one of the things that a lot of Palace fans are really excited about is that De Boer's record with youth players is really exciting. He's like brought through the likes of Christian Eriksen at Ajax, Jan Vertonghen,
Alderweireld.
Do we think then finally, because we talk about this every week on the podcast, when are we going to get youth team players in? Are we actually going to see the likes of Williams and Kaikai and Boateng actually get a run rather than just kind of your token appearances?
Yes, big time.
I've got no doubt that was part of the conversation, part of the deal. I think it's interesting that they've talked a lot about spending money in January and there not being a massive war chest, and De Boer even today saying there's one or two players he's got his eye on, but he wants to look at the current squad first. I don't think there's any doubt that he'll be, you know, people like Dre will be coming through, people like Geico will be coming through, and we've seen in the past. I think Warnock was probably the only Palace manager that we've had recently that gave youngsters a chance. The fans get off your back if you're putting your kids out, you buy yourself a bit of time. But also, you know,
especially look at how many of our kids have become Palace favourites as well.
Yeah.
It's De Boer seems like he's going to strengthen the squad in all areas. And we know he's good with young players. And regardless of the fact that we've now got the eighth biggest sponsorship deal in the Prem or whatever, I don't think it will be a case of just shopping around and trying to bolster the squad with big, expensive new signings. Hopefully this will come with a bit of development internally as well.
Well, especially January. We did so well in January.
And he said today about Sacco that Sacco is one of the people he'd be talking to and looking at straight away. Yeah,
nice.
It's one of the questions he took. But he also said that at Ajax he knew every player down to the under 10 level. He knew every single player. He knew their names. Wow. He knew their circumstances. He knew everything about them. He personally followed their careers.
Well, Warnock did the same, didn't he? Yeah. James and Travis saying that Warnock did similar. De Boer's basically the Dutch Warnock.
And I think also as well...
talking about... You don't just say he's the Dutch
Warnock. We'll get away with that.
No, you thought you were going to go away unnoticed. We can't. I love how we're having conversations about Warnock and De Boer in the same sentence. That just proves how far...
He did say...
About Allardyce as well.
Yeah,
Frank did say today that in Holland, when you're 24, you're considered experienced. In England, you're still considered
still young.
That's
really
so true.
He's looking towards really some good of the point. Ajax defenders and centre-backs as well.
How long is it before you sign a Dutch player?
There's a right-back, centre-back that are after.
Still, 6 months Joel ago. Veltman.
Wim de Jong as well. Yeah. Sim de Jong, rather.
Sim's at Newcastle. Yeah.
And the Barcelona reserve keeper.
Really?
Yeah.
He hasn't got a look in under it.
But also, I think it's interesting, the Evening Standard were the first people to hint at it today. I think the fact that he wants to look at the young players is an indication that he's not going to change the backroom staff. The Evening Standard said pretty much all he wants to do is bring in an assistant.
Yeah.
But if he's going to find out about the young players, that implies that he's got to keep the coaching team that we've got.
Well, they were getting an assistant.
I've already started writing my Sammy Lee and Ronald.
There were
no, he'll keep
You'll like to hear this because there were quotes this afternoon where he said Sammy Lee will stay on as an assistant coach.
Yeah,
and that's confirmed.
He'll keep the conditioning guy that everyone's been talking about.
Ryland Morgans. Yeah.
And also the academy, Margotson, Kevin Keane. He'll keep the academy coaches because otherwise he was not going to find out about the club, is
he? So, well, that's the best of both worlds. We've got the best manager we could have hoped for, and we're keeping the staff that we wanted.
Because let's be fair, the only reason, you know, most of us had heard of Pellegrino roughly beforehand. We knew how well Alaves were doing. We didn't know that he was sacked from Valencia after 20 games, you know, but the only reason we wanted him to become manager of most Palace fans because he's a mate of Sammy Lee.
Yeah,
there was that.
So,
so
we assumed he would keep Sammy Lee.
And went,
So, now we've got Frank De Boer and Sammy Lee.
We've ended up with, I think, out of the pool of managers that were being rumoured in the mill, I think we've quite clearly ended up with the best one. We were all kind of gutted when Silva went to Watford and Pellegrino went to Southampton, but I think in hindsight, and probably in foresight, we've got the best deal. And we were going, oh, why is Silva going to Watford instead of Palace? And I think he did, you know.
I spoke to a friend of mine today, Jacob, who's an Ajax fan, lives
in
London.
Jacob.
Hi, Jacob.
Hi, Jacob.
Hi, Jacob.
I said I'd send him this tomorrow. And just asking for the lowdown about Frank. I said, what do the Ajax fans think of him? He said, it's like asking Palace fans what Ian Wright means to them. He's a pure icon.
Wow. Judas.
Wow.
He doesn't know that much.
I've never been so proud of myself. I'm welling up.
He only knows the mainstream version of Ian Wright and Palace.
Was it?
That's English.
But he also said he's great mates with Cocu. Obviously, he was the final World Cup final assistant manager with Van Gaal. He just said that he's very well thought of across Holland. Everyone likes him. I said, how did it go down in the Dutch press today? He said, another Dutch manager in the Premier League. And just obviously gone down really well over there. He's not as arrogant at all as Frank is. And another weird left field story about how he had a massive argument with John DeWolf. Remember him? Yeah. He used to play for Wolves. Yeah. Big poker game they had where John DeWolf was caught cheating.
Whoa.
And DeWolf owned up to it in his autobiography.
Wow.
Google it. It's quite good fun.
Wow. Well, that's the thing about him being the assistant manager for the World Cup team in 2010, because everyone talks about, it's the Barcelona way, the Ajax way. That Holland team were functional.
Yeah.
That team basically kicked, cheated and battered their way to that final.
They were un-Dutch, weren't
they? They were very un-Dutch. So I don't think it's necessarily... He's not going to suddenly start playing flamboyant football out of nowhere.
Well, I saw there was a really good breakdown of his tactics online on some article, and it said he's influenced by two people massively, and that's Johan Cruyff and Louis van Gaal.
Yeah.
So he actually likes to blend the two. So he likes his teams to be attacking and total football, but he won't do that at the expense of defensive organisation.
Well, that's pretty much what he said today in the press conference, is that until he's happy that the players can play that flamboyant way...
Mm.
They won't play that way. They'll be defensively well organised and they'll be.
Which is exactly what Allardyce did when he came in, wasn't it? Yeah. I just noticed you're wearing an orange top.
That was subconscious today. I went to
you've
work.
You've got an orange
put this on,
pop shield.
Yeah, you've got a football golf t-shirt on. So yeah,
it's a good sport. was it important? So this is Palace's first ever full-time foreign manager. Obviously, we had Lombardo for 8 or 9 games, whatever it was. Was it important for Palace to kind of go into this kind of new era? You know, it's a new thing for Palace.
We're about 30 years late, to be honest.
for Palace, you know, was that important to actually kind of get a foreign manager in, do something different?
I don't know if it's important to get a foreign manager in.
Just an aspirational appointment,
I think it's important to get the best manager available, and we've done that. It's interesting, I did TalkSport yesterday, they were asking me about, another club who... not going for the British option, which is slightly unfair because we've done nothing but the British option recently. But also in terms of bringing British players on, none of the British managers we've had recently have brought our youth players on.
Yeah.
No, so the irony is it's going to take a Dutch manager to bring in young English talent because from Holloway on, you could probably, on the fingers of one hand, you could name the times one of our youth players... Yeah. Started certainly a Premier League game, and I think the last player to break through is Wilf, really, to break through properly. I mean, Kai was on the edge of a couple of times,
and he's not had a chance.
He played a couple of cup games against Bolton away, but I don't get that because we gave the last manager we had was an English manager who'd been crucified by the English media, and we gave him a chance, and he had a proven himself and doing really well. So that's just fluff.
But also as well, the English managers, Allardyce,
allegedly it's fluff.
Allardyce, Pulis,
no, definitely fluff.
Allardyce, Pulis, Pardew, all of them said young players aren't ready for the physical battles in the Premier League. If you're in a relegation battle, you can't rely on young players. Mm.
Yeah,
and his attitude is the opposite. It's like, well, let's try.
Let's not
players,
be so. In a relegation battle.
Oh, yeah,
that's the way we should approach it. It's like, just be 20 points clear at the top.
I mean, Zaha's 24-ish now, and he's been playing for us for 7 or 8 years. Yeah. He's becoming an isolated kind of story.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's the exception to the rule.
Absolutely.
And I don't think they want that hanging around their necks. They need to bring a few more players through. And it's not going to be easy to do it, but someone who's come from that culture where it's the norm has got the best chance of bringing it in.
Well, if you look at John Bostock, the chances are, this is a big claim, that if Frank de Boer had been our manager when John Bostock was 16, he could be England captain now.
Yeah.
Because Frank de Boer would have played him in the first team. And if he'd had a few bad games, Frank de Boer would have said, I'm still going to keep playing him in the first team because he's better than any of the players we got.
Yeah, and that's how you do it. You don't just give him one crack and then say, oh, it's if we'd done that to Andros Townsend or a player who wasn't, they wouldn't have ended up, if we treated him like we treated
him. They need time.
Well, the classic example was Wilf going to Man U under Ferguson. And if Ferguson had stayed, Wilf would probably have flourished. And Wilf's debut would have been, he would have come on in a Carling Cup game, or he would have come on in a Champions League game that was already won. Yeah. But instead, Moyes brought him on as sub in a game they were 1-0 down and said to him, go and win us the game.
Yeah.
And then when he doesn't, everyone's having to go out as a heart.
Yeah. And then sent him on loan to a terrible Cardiff team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So De Boer will nurture the young players. And then just think, every single player at Palace, from the first team down to the youngest kids, would be going, holy mother of God, Frank de Boer, I've got a crack at this.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
They want to prove themselves because they know they can. When you're on the bench with Alan Pardew, you know you're not going to get on because you're only on the bench to show how slim the bench is.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Or Big Sam when he first came in. It's obviously you're not going to be able to play the youth players if you're in a relegation battle constantly. But I think one of the good things about Frank de Boer is he's going to make sure that's not the case. If we're somewhere in the top 10 or around 11th or 12th mid-season, then he's going to be able to roll some youth players out and give them a chance because there's that safety net. We need managers that have that.
But I'm not sure if that's the case. I'm not sure that he might not start with... It might take him more than six weeks of pre-season.
First game is high stakes.
No, I know. It might take him more than 6 weeks to see the entire squad right down to the youngsters. But the way Frank de Boer is talking, you wouldn't be surprised to see some of the younger players getting a chance.
If they've proven themselves in pre-season, I'd imagine. Yeah, there's plenty of opportunities.
That seems to be his attitude. He will at least give them a chance in the first team, because unless you try them in the first team, how are you going to know?
You referenced this earlier, Kevin, and it's my next question on the list, which is, will De Boer see Palace as a stepping stone? And the only reason I ask that is because Parrish did say a couple of weeks ago, we're looking for someone to build around, to be here for a while, to have a sort of legacy at the club. I mean, we thought Silva possibly might be like that kind of manager, Pellegrino. Do we think De Boer would stick around?
Yes.
Or do you think he sees this as an opportunity to impress after the Inter?
Parrish said he wanted someone to stay and help build a legacy, and he also said he was incredibly impressed at Frank de Boer's interview, so I don't see why that wouldn't be the case. And with Ronald de Boer cracking on about how we might not get Champions League this season, but we'd at least get Europa League and then wait for next season, it looks like he's got big ideas for the club. And if he can stick around and make us into something, why wouldn't he stick around for longer?
There was one thing that I heard Parrish say in the press of the day, which I made a mental note of, where he said, Frank's number one brief is to bring relief anxiety from me and the fans.
Right.
And I thought that was interesting because he probably has had a little bit too much squeaky bum time.
I think
I think when you're bringing in a manager who has no Premier League experience, in all likelihood, it's not going to be plain sailing. It's going to probably have his slight issues adjusting to the league. I mean, if Guardiola had to adjust, then Frank de Boer's going to have to adjust, right? Yeah.
Conte, though.
Yes.
I need to be quite careful answering this question because there are several...
That team won the league.
There are quite a few people on Twitter who have said to me, for the love of God, please don't predict that this manager will stay and build a legacy, because I've said it basically about Pulis, Pardew, Allardyce, almost. Yeah, this will be the manager that stays and builds and changes the infrastructure. So,
is that a thing anymore, though?
It is a little bit. If you want, you can't bring young players through in a year or 2 years.
I think it's
kind of the wrong way around. But the longer we stay in the Premier League under Frank de Boer, the longer Frank de Boer will stay. But I don't mind if Frank de Boer thinks to himself, all right, in 4 or 5 years' time, I'd like to be managing Man U or Chelsea. That's fine. As long as he...
Doesn't mean he won't do the job while he's with us.
Absolutely. Well, he'll have had to have done a job
in mind, to get that job. Bear in mind, it's completely in his interest to do well with us. But also, when he went to Ajax, they hadn't won the league in what, like
six seasons. Haven't won it since he left.
Yeah. Well, he won it 4 years on the bounce.
Yeah. Which the first time anyone's ever
straight
done.
Away. And his first 4 years.
Yeah. And that was all with bringing. He brought young players through. And set them up. We all know who they are now.
Part of me also thinks that the logical thing to do is put money on Allardyce being the next manager by December, because you don't know, do you?
No, I heard someone say about Allardyce that if I was Sam Allardyce, I'd just work 6 months of the year. I'd just do exactly what he's just done. Just quit in the summer, enjoy, wait until teams are in trouble in December and take a short-term contract with a fat bonus and repeat.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Pay us £2 million every time he does it. I'll be happy
with
that.
Is there any of this?
Well, that 2 years that he can't work,
yeah.
Does that count if he comes back to Palace?
That's a fair point.
Does he get £2 million?
Is there any? We're all really excited about this, but is there any of this that makes you feel a bit nervous? Is there anything that just alarms in your head or anything about it? Are we getting carried away?
It's the first... I'm trying to think. It's just the first non-emergency manager, isn't it? Basically, that we've brought in
pretty much.
Yeah.
We've got a manager who's got a full pre-season.
That's a really good point.
There's that slightly worrying thing as a Palace fan where you think maybe he's too big for us. You don't know, but at the moment, I just think, just enjoy it. Just enjoy the...
We're a team that's about to have Europa League football. It's not too big for us.
Last manager was they got a full pre-season.
Well, Pardew did, but...
Yeah, but like,
when he first came in.
Allardyce
Holloway didn't. Friedman didn't.
Would mean finish the last season with us, surely.
But you're right, it is. George Burley? Is George Burley the last non-emergency manager? No, because they got him...
Well, Pardew had a full pre-season.
Yeah, but not his first season.
Yeah, but I mean, like, when they signed him.
When they signed him, yeah.
Yeah, we've got...
I think it is Burley.
Must have been Burley, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Am I smelling a clean slate? Is that what?
No, it might be beard. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's a good question. Is there anything to worry about just based on where we're at? But it's a lot of it's in the signings. I mean, if you want to see Hennessy rolling it out to defenders, we need some defenders. Basically.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think De Boer will suddenly start doing that. Yeah, because it was interesting because Ed and I spoke about maybe Mandanda. This will be Mandanda's chance to redeem himself. Mm-hmm. But I don't think, the way De Boer's talking, I don't think he's suddenly going to be asking Scott Dan, Tompkins, Mandanda, whoever, Sacco, whoever it is, to be taking the ball off the keeper and passing it through midfield.
Surely he won't be asking any players to do things that they can't do.
No.
Yes. No, meant the same thing in there. Should we
be
worried about anything from the Inter spell, or is that a real just anomaly?
Look, every single the first thing I've been saying this for 3 or 4 days. The first thing you have to remember is, for a start, there's not a manager in the world that hasn't had a bad spell. Pellegrino had a terrible spell at Valencia.
He was
sacked after 20-21 games or whatever it was. Frank, first of all, Inter Milan, one of the biggest clubs in the world, thought Frank de Boer was a good enough manager to take on. He had no pre-season.
Two days, I think.
His arrival coincided with new owners
who
wanted him to play the big money players that they bought in that week. He had no experience. So I don't think you can judge it on that. You simply can't judge it on that. And then there are those people who say, well, Dutch football is the same as Scottish football. That's not true either. There are those people who go, well, his record in the Champions League isn't very good. That doesn't matter because that's 4 years down the line.
Yeah. But also, if you look at
people
that have come from Dutch football, there's a lot of players that we mentioned earlier have done really well and adapted to the Premier League. Yeah. Ronald Koeman has adapted to the Premier League.
At Inter, bizarrely, is that a lot of the Inter players and a lot of the Inter coaches would say, who's this bloke coming from Ajax? Whereas Palace fans are going, we've got a bloke from Ajax. Basically, so there is...
I've heard of him. Yeah.
And maybe on the flip side, Ed, there's actually...
On the flip side?
Football
goals change you, mate.
On the flip side?
That spell...
That's how I rap, Sash. I'm sitting on a backwards chair.
That spell at Inter maybe has actually given him a lot to think about and a lot to learn.
Yeah, again, I said it for Big Sam and I'll say it for him. It's... a side that needs not redemption but to prove something is ideal for a manager that needs to do the same. Mm-hmm. You know, a huge out of touch manager or a manager that wants the job or just another sort of in the rotation of the English.
Because he can't have this job after the Inter one not go well as well.
Yeah. Terrible. There are high stakes for him, like there were for Big Sam, and Big Sam fulfilled them. Hopefully now De Boer with a full preseason and a very clear idea of what he wants to do will fulfill him as well.
On the flip side,
what's wrong with saying that?
Sorry, tell me on the down
back,
low.
Now we're back where we were.
Yeah, if
that's
we're,
two
on the, we're,
that's,
on the, we're on the original side.
That's two flips.
We're on the original side.
We're back on the original side.
Get with the program.
if he'd done well at Inter, he wouldn't be coming to Palace, would he?
Yeah, of course.
That's true. That's why we've got him.
Yeah, I mean, he was asked today in the presser what went wrong at Inter Milan. Did you see that?
Loads.
No.
And he said a lot.
Really?
Yeah. But he said, I'm bringing that experience with me.
He was at Inter Milan. Do you know what I mean? If he wasn't, he wouldn't. It's not like they give the job to anyone they meet out in the street. Not like Sean Dyche would never get a job at Inter in the first place.
True.
Regardless of whether or not he'd mess it up.
Also, you know? Inter had four managers in the calendar year between 16 and 17, of which he was one. So
they're trying to beat our record.
Yeah. There's no disrespect to Sean Dyche, by the way. Burnley fans listen to this.
No, but and I think we'd have all been like, okay,
that would have been the safe option, and none of us would have minded. It's just this is a more exciting, more.
Ajax and Inter. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, the simple fact is Dyche has not managed players like Kabay and Benteke.
He's not had to deal with Sahar.
And to those kind of players, from their point of view, they're probably not going to respect him in the way they would, you know, someone like Holloway would be the similar sort of comparison.
Yeah.
It's like you need some of that little bit more gravitas. I mean, Allardyce would have been okay with them, but I think De Boer is somebody that we need with the players and the clientele we're going for.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, our memories of Sean Dyche, or the players' memories of Sean Dyche, will be two tricksy, dug-in games, and that's not football that I think they particularly want to play. They didn't have a... Our team will know who he is because we had two disappointing results against him in last season. But Frank De Boer is just a different league, and I don't think anyone will mind us saying that.
No,
it's a different league than any of the managers we've had before, than a lot of the managers kicking about.
I think he's our highest profile manager.
Well, also, that relates, the fact is that, you know, people are saying, again, I've been asked this several times, oh, well, Pardew tried to play that possession football. It's like, not quite. He tried to play a bit further up the field, but...
Also, it's Pardew.
It's Frank De Boer. It's like, you know, Pardew. Yeah, we didn't suddenly try to play magical possession football under Pardew.
We tried
to play the same, pretty much the same football, but further up the field without any defensive cohesion.
Yeah, and swap the DM for a CM.
And also with loads of off the field problems. And it's a different thing. Do you know what I mean? It's like comparing me and Serena Williams and going, well, Ed's tried to win Wimbledon once, so don't say how Serena can do it. It's like, obviously, it's Serena Williams. I've never played tennis in my life.
Good. Okay, yeah.
Dude, was that
great
was that clear?
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Yeah.
Or football golf, which is...
Football golf, yeah.
Okay, right, let's move on to the
flip side. You are the Serena Williams of football golf.
No, hang on, the flip side again of...
So part two, yeah.
So we need
to go to the flip side of the pod, which is part two. Let's take a break. and after the
flipping side are we on now?
We're going to hear from your questions after this. Welcome back to the 5-Year Plan Podcast.
Hey!
New Manager Special.
Hey!
Sponsored by Vector Printing. For all your printing embroidery needs, go to vector.co.uk, and that's Vector with a
K.
Nice. And JCIS, the global research and brand consultancy from South London. Visit jc-is.com.
I will.
Oh, nice, nice. Very that good. Sounded like a mix between Endicott and John, JCIS.
It did sound a little combo, John, yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad you spotted that. I was going for that.
Yeah. Good. Right, loads of questions from our listeners. The first one, we've got the same question from Tefu.
Right, Tefu.
And Boost Gauge.
All right, Boost Gauge.
And they both say, and I think this one's for Kevin probably, they say, have we turned the corner? I think we're going to get that every week, aren't we?
Yeah.
Jamie 00C.
Right, Jamie.
Hi, Jamie 00C.
Says... Finally, I think this was maybe sent before the manager was announced. I'm not sure. It says, finally, who will be the manager? A question from a fan in Spain. Well
I mean,
thanks,
that was definitely sent from before the manager was announced.
I don't think we...
Yeah, I'd refer him to part one.
I think we asked for questions. And
well, first of all, Jaime. Thank you very much for the question.
Isn't that nice to have a fan in?
It is nice, yeah. And second, we all apologise that JD didn't read any of these questions before we started the pod.
That one was set in when Pardew was sacked.
Unless he's talking, unless Hammer's talking about the next manager after this one,
which we all agree
is going to
be Allardyce.
No, I think it's going to be Pardew or Pulis. It's going to be Pulis.
Okay, Mike Benz says, was the jerk chicken / white smoke tweet just about the best announcement ever in the history of football announcement tweets?
Yes,
I thought it was really clever. It
was great. Yeah.
Shout out to
also I tweeted Chris Grierson to say who was responsible for that, and he went, it was a joint decision, so obviously not him.
It's a lad called Sam Jordan that runs the Twitter account, isn't it?
Oh, he's on holiday. He's on holiday.
It's a mystery. I was about to give him the
plot
credit
thickens.
For that.
Oh. No, it was very clever and very funny.
It was very good.
That was great.
And in keeping with that, Rob Grogan
Hi, Rob.
Says, will the Tasty Jerk be putting a wild de boer on the menu?
Oh, come on, mate.
First one, we'll allow that. Come on.
Yeah, right. In the spirit of the season.
Okay, so we sort of touched on this before, but it's a real fair point. Anthony Peacock.
Hi, Anthony.
Says, from Holloway to Warnock to a manager with the calibre of De Boer, and some fans are still moaning. Mm. My question is, who did these moaners want? It's a fair point.
Well, Andy
Messi
Street,
as player manager.
Yeah, Andy Street we wanted.
I don't think anyone wanted Andy Street to be the manager.
He had money on him.
Yeah, 17 to 1, yeah.
17 to 1?
Yeah, a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's not just Palace, is it? Every football club has fans won't be happy or think it's a risk or, you know, say, well, Inter Milan, blah, blah, blah. But we know it's like when Allardyce got a job, there's so many Palace fans who still hung on as Pardew gorillas, didn't they? So it's the nature of football. People lock themselves into positions that they can't get out of, basically. But
yeah,
I think 95%, you've seen the response, 95% of Palace fans can't quite believe.
I think you can tell as well when the response from non-Palace fans, when non-Palace fans are saying, absolutely, oh my word, they've got De Boer.
And it's a big news everywhere. It's not,
I think as Ed
keep ourselves grounded.
I mean, as Ed, who said it in the first half, you look at the hierarchy of managers that we could have got, we've got the best one.
Quite clearly, the best.
I would tend to agree.
The Moaners tend to want that golden combination of Mancini, Lombardo, don't they? They've got the association playing for the club, Premier League experience, international pedigree,
loads of money,
and unattainable.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, having said that, Mancini was as unattainable as Frank de Boer in a way.
It was a weird way. It came out of the blue, didn't it?
40 games in the Champions League, people will still find a reason to moan.
Yeah, of course
they
would.
How it is.
Yeah, the view from the Alpha Way, etc. The burgers are too slow.
Well, I mean, and also,
both of those are genuine complaints. But
has the Pardew saga and then Allardyce coming in kind of like put to bed this thing about you have to have a connection to the club to succeed? Is it better for us to, you know, move away from that?
He has worn red and blue stripes.
Yeah,
that is true. Yes. Actually, yeah, true.
I would like to have hoped that the Steve Kember followed by Dougie Freeman would have put to bed, you need a connection to the club.
Yeah,
and you have to sort of I understand why people. I mean, the Lombardo thing was really kind of sentimental to the point of idiocy in a way, because he was a brilliant player, but his stint as player manager with Brolin as assistant player manager wasn't a particularly.
Well, bless him for stepping up.
No, absolutely. It wasn't a particularly happy time. But we've talked about this before. Palace fans are a peculiarly sentimental breed.
Yeah.
And as Jesse says, they'll always look for a connection. And sometimes you have to go, we're a big grown up professional football club now. And if the best manager who's available in Europe wants to come to us, then we'll go for that option.
Yeah,
that's
all right. Same with when Sam came in, he was the best possible choice then. And we've got a sort, following the run of form we had at the end of last season and how we've been playing, the sort of names we've been attracting, and the fact that we've had a record number of seasons in the top flight is probably, you know, an indicator that we should be changing our attitude and being more, you know, like optimistic, that's the word.
That's the word. It's been a while since we said that.
Yeah.
It is about changing the mindset, as we said right at the start. It is about changing the mindset. When, you know, how many seasons in the Premier League does it take before you go, okay, just staying in the Premier League isn't good enough?
Yeah,
and even De Boer said today, the first thing is to make us a solid Premier League club.
Yeah.
This is the most Southampton-like thing we've done for a while. Like they've done with Pochettino, Koeman.
Yeah.
You know, they've had the guts to bring in that manager with pedigree and reputation that hasn't got Premier League experience. And it's worked out for them. Probably the same thing will happen to us. If it goes well, the vultures will come. But would that be a good thing rather than resigning or buggering off for some
That
sort
happens
of
with Wilf every season. We've still got him.
Well, I think the difference with Southampton probably is that they've got a much stronger infrastructure in terms of consistency from the style of football they play all the way through. So whatever manager comes in is sort of taking over at something that already exists. Yeah, whereas with us, it's almost every manager is starting again, which comes back to that point we make about he's the first manager to have had a pre-season.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've done it four times in a row now. Pellegrino, yeah. Puel, yeah. Pochettino, yeah. Koeman. Who was before that? Atkins.
No, they had another one, didn't they?
Pochettino replaced Atkins.
Yeah.
But look, if I could just give you like a little scenario, how would we be feeling right now if Pellegrino had been announced as our manager and Saints had got De Boer? Would we be feeling a bit like, we could have got De Boer?
Yeah. We'd be happy because they're both good managers, but as it stands, we've been saying that, you know, Southampton are above us and they've got that infrastructure and they've got that consistency. And Pellegrino probably needs to prove himself more, so it's natural that we get him. But I think it's a big statement of intent and of what people think we could be, that it's ended up this way around.
Yeah. Logically, I think if you said these two managers have joined these two clubs, most people would have gone, okay, De Boer's gone to Southampton and Palace have got
Pellegrino. I thought that was going to happen.
Pellegrino's got a connection to the club through Samuel.
Yeah, but also Southampton's infrastructure is that further forward than ours is. Even, you know, they've got a very good academy as well, but I just think we should celebrate the fact that it seems quite clear, and it'd be interesting to see what Steve Parrish says in the future, because he's normally very good at taking credit. It's quite clear this hasn't happened out of the blue, and it's quite clear that the reason it's been such a long time is that this process, they spoke to De Boer very early in June, as well as other people. From what I can gather, they didn't speak to Dyche properly at all. They certainly didn't speak to Silva. So it seems to me that the Pellegrino and De Boer were the two main choices, and that the club and both Pellegrino and De Boer took some time to weigh up their options and decide what they wanted to do.
It's funny with De Boer, though, because he wasn't on anyone's radar until suddenly, because it was all Silva and Dyche and Pellegrino, and then it was almost like
Hodgson and Coleman and all that rubbish.
It was almost like the bookies and all the journos and stuff hadn't even thought, oh, De Boer go to Palace. Like, it hadn't even been kind of a consideration.
Well, if we hadn't thought that, why would the bookies think that? And the reason the bookies hadn't thought that is because their odds are reflecting what people are putting money on.
Yeah.
And okay, nobody was putting money on De Boer.
No one's putting on De Boer to Palace.
Yeah.
And no one's even assuming it would happen, let alone that it would.
A little club that could.
Can I offer you another...
You can.
Terrible joke from one of our listeners?
Yeah, sure. So go ahead.
I've seen your set, so yeah.
Oh, that would be mixed spirit of the season.
Right. Kevin Childs.
Hi, Kevin.
Says, thoughts on Frank and his brother Chris singing at halftime for us?
Christopher.
Oh, nice. Mm. Yeah. All right, yeah.
Okay.
No. On the day, they're all allowed today.
Okay.
This is your last chance, everybody.
Yeah. Christopher,
Lady in Red and Blue.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Round of applause.
Yes. Nice. Okay. Loads of questions about how De Boer will do in the transfer market. Tweeting Nav.
Hi, Tweet.
Right, tweeting Nav.
Says, he said, Parrish and De Boer have both spoken about one or two signings, but what are the two priority positions? He's put goalkeeper and centre back.
In the entire Ajax squad.
I haven't thought about this for a while.
Obviously, if Streety was here, we'd know what the priorities are. I thought it's interesting that both De Boer and Parrish talked today about how exciting how front players were, which indicates to me that people like Ikechi and Ayo might not be priorities. The priorities are centre back, goalkeeper, creative midfield player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I would say.
Johnny Williams.
Yeah,
maybe he's getting a look in now.
Also, Kabay's not gone yet. I mean, I kind of thought Kabay would be first out the door.
That's again,
and we'd need a new midfielder.
But you talk about the age pro, because I mean, also De Boer has been very gung-ho about we have to lower the age of the squad.
Yes.
And as Jesse said, he put, you know, 24 is old in Dutch football.
Yeah, yeah. And what's ours is what, average of 28, is
28,
it?
And like so you'd think that Punch and Kabay and a couple of others would be looking over their shoulder. I imagine Delaney
would
be getting...
Gotten to be.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't say
that'd
that
be
as...
a shame. That'd be real shame.
Well, I don't say that as a personal criticism. It's just, if I'm him...
That would take that well, though. Punch would take that well, I think.
I don't know. I think De Boer strikes me as somebody who's clever enough to not drop the captain or not
take
the captain out
now, but also we'd speak like we've been talking for the whole the first part about bringing through youth players with under De Boer. We'll have six or seven more punches to
you need a punching in the squad
of course you do. Well, it's not going to be a wholesale change, it's going to be gradual development, so
yeah
We clearly need goals from midfield, though. That's been lacking for a long time. Absolutely. And Punch, we know it's we know he's got it in him. We know he's got 5 to 10 goals in him. Mm. Last year, he didn't score one.
Yeah.
And I think if you're Frank de Boer and you've learned that stat, you're going to be watching him, aren't you?
Yeah, of course.
What's going on with this guy? He's got a record that says tells me he can score goals. Yeah. Where are they?
Yeah.
And I think that when it looked like Swansea were going down, I was chatting to a couple of mates about it would be great if we signed him. You can imagine Sigurdsson, Kabay with Luka behind.
Yeah,
that's the solid three you need. Yeah, right. And then where's Punch? And that's a conundrum.
Yeah.
I just feel with Punch there's more to come. Well. Townsend, really? Anything? Yeah, I don't know. Townsend, I think will play. Probably,
won't you? I would have thought so.
Punching, like, we know there's more to come, like, we know he can do better. It's just it's frustrating. And we did that pod with him, and there's so much passion coming out of him.
We can't, he's a really great captain. Bemoan fans moaning and showing so much sentimentality and then go, spirit. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? I love Punch, but you know, this he said himself, he knows he's not going to be sticking around forever.
I love Punch.
I think
making penalty taker just get his confidence going,
he needs goals, yeah.
Well, keep him around. I mean,
hopefully,
Punch,
the pre-season, having a manager for the pre-season will. Yeah.
When we interviewed him, Punch talked quite a lot about doing his coaching badges.
Yeah.
So it may be that Punch will stay around to be guided by Frank de Boer.
Yeah.
Like he knows the team inside out. Punch knows the young players inside out as well. Yeah, Punch has done a lot of work with the younger kids.
Yeah.
So I don't think de Boer will get... I think Punch will be part of the plans, but the way de Boer operates, you'd be surprised if he was...
Week in, week out.
After the first few weeks. I mean, the tournament in Hong Kong, which is quite exciting because it's the first proper televised, unnecessary Sky tournament we've actually taken part in. Sort of thing I usually hate, but now I'm prepared to get up early in the morning to watch it. I mean, I'd be interested to see what sort of players De Boer picks for that.
I think he'll take some youngsters out there.
I think it's saying that, I don't think it's saying that. Yeah, we talk about bringing youngsters through and how we desperately need to do it. At the same time, we do have a very, very strong and stable sort of older branch of players. You know what I mean? We've got a really good foundation for younger players to be brought in on with people like Jules, Delaney, Punch, people that have been kicking around for a while and know how things work and are good influences. So it's not like we're just going to be bringing them in blind. There is a good structure for them to be brought into.
It sounds like, just occurred to me as well, with the Sammy Lee commitment. So obviously he's worked out that Allardyce isn't going to get a job anytime soon, so he might as well just stick around because he's not going to get another job anywhere very soon. So,
well, also I think if
I'd like to see him stick around with us as long as possible.
I think if De Boer has done his homework, as he says he has for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and apparently his interview presentation whatever was very good, and if he has done his homework as he says he is, then he probably learned that Sammy Lee was a really important part of.
Not just keeping us up, putting us on that great run of form.
Along with the conditioning coach
Morgan.
Who suddenly in the last 3 or 4 days got, partly because of you, has got a lot of publicity.
He had it before. I did research into him. He'd had it before when he went to, he was at Liverpool.
In terms of Palace, it's only Wales.
And
I was aware that Townsend had talked about him, but I wasn't aware that so much of the club had attached so much importance.
I sort of hadn't before this week, really, but clearly he's a big influence, an important part of the setup. Question from Russell Mole. Muscle Roll.
Hi, Muscle.
I don't know, whatever. Okay. Away shirt thoughts. What do you think of the away shirt?
We need one.
Yeah, well, the design. Was it black with the red and blue? It looks a bit like Sampdoria, doesn't it?
Are we talking about the shirt or are we talking about the sponsor now?
I don't know whether it's meant to be a nod to our kit in the 60s and early 60s when we had that white band across.
Maybe a new one?
I like it. We're supposed to have a third kit as well, which is a bit...
Really?
I like that horizontal band.
There are a few teams with black and red or black and blue sort of going on. So
I probably would white. I might have preferred it white, but...
We haven't had black kit. We've had it a few times, haven't we?
Yeah.
Do we ever done well with black kits?
I don't think that really matters.
Chamax Gordon, it.
Sorry.
All right, fair enough.
It says what? The superstitious man?
Says what? The man with the fucking scarf on the moose.
The scarf on the moose is what's making the difference.
What?
Yeah.
I've got to be lucky scarf hanging off the moose's head.
Literally a scarf on a moose.
That's what we first learned.
It's not a euphemism. He has a scarf on a moose and he thinks that's what's...
No, I like the black. Again, I feel the same about every kit. I'd rather it didn't have a sponsor's name on it. They all look much better about sponsors' names. But
shall we talk about sponsors then? Because that's kind of been...
I've got a bit of a controversial opinion about
it. It's a betting company. I don't know if we need to say their name or not, but it's a betting company. It doesn't look great. Like, it looks...
Are you
a fan of it?
I think some of the photos, for example, the one I've seen shared most around is the one of Parrish and De Boer holding the shirts.
Yeah.
I think some of those pictures make it look unflattering. I think it's quite a good... I think it's better than Mansion, at any rate. It's not like TDK or Virgin or the ones I really like, but it's... I think it's... It makes us look... It looks like a cool, upcoming European team, you know, our kit now. I like that.
The indoor pictures...
Step in a different direction.
The like pictures that. Taken inside at the press conference don't look good. The ones outside look better, but it's not just the aesthetic. I mean, I think... I've got a feeling in 5 years' time... the whole Jerry Barton gambling thing has thrown gambling into sharp relief. I think in 5 years' time, you won't be allowed to... gambling firms won't be allowed to sponsor...
Oh, I don't like the fact that it's a Premier League club. Yeah. I don't think it would be.
Should we be really... you know, should football clubs be associated with that?
In future, I don't think they will be. And I think it's interesting that the FA have dropped Ladbrokes as their official betting partner. And, you know, if alcohol and cigarettes advertising is wrong on shirts, then I think gambling advertising is probably just as bad. I do slightly worry. It was drawn to my attention by certain people around the table just before the pod started that Manbet seemed like a slightly reactionary company in terms of their advertising.
Yeah, quite advertising.
There's a lot of scantily clad young ladies throwing ice cream and flour over each other.
I mean, that's not a great image to be.
It's not brilliant, but I think it's slightly churlish on, you know, with so much good news going on, it's slightly churlish to start saying, well,
true.
And also, I think it's interesting.
Well, that's in the Premier League.
I think that's really important. I mean, that's
so a reflecting can you imagine position if they hadn't announced the manager, they'd announce a new shirt of the sponsor, we'd all be kicking off.
It would have been underwhelming. I don't know if it'd kick off, it'd be underwhelming. I mean, Mansion were a gambling company, and
I don't know what Nutella did.
We haven't got GAC written across our shirt, so it doesn't really matter anymore, does it? So
it's a couple of things, really, but I think it's pretty clear that Parrish was a bit worried about how it was going to go down.
That's
got to be said. I mean,
that's a good point.
He'd admit that if no one was listening.
I think it's
that's a good point. That's a really good point.
I don't think it's the worst we could have had. I think it's all right.
I wonder how much
the picture here of Wilf and Scott wearing the shirts in the ground looks good. It makes it look better. This one here.
Oh yeah, it does.
Yeah, I
wonder how much in terms of TV money.
It's better than Everton's. Yeah.
American owners' money. I wonder how much money proportionally the sponsorship actually brings in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at least we haven't got the same sponsor as Bournemouth.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if in the future we don't need, like, there's so much money from TV, we don't need sponsors? No, I mean, it would be nice to have sponsorless shirts.
Well, it would be nice if, I love the young people's shirts last year, sponsored by, you know, Nordoff Robbins having that sort of stuff on it. I mean, that's...
Why can't we do that?
Because we haven't got the resources that Barcelona have to put UNICEF on the front of our shirts.
Yeah, but even Barcelona then went and got Qatar on the front of their shirt, didn't they?
Yeah, so it's one of those things that you wish didn't exist in football, in the same way that you wish Sky didn't change kickoff times.
But if one team had significantly more money than another because they had a sponsor, you go, well, why don't we have a sponsor?
And the thing is, every club knows that they would sell far more shirts in the club shop if they didn't have sponsors' names on it.
Infinitely.
Because they are good shirts, they're good kits.
Especially when they're putting them on pre-sale without a sponsor being
announced. I know a lot of people want to change
that's another good point.
I mean, for me, it's a no-brainer that the sash sells. I mean, I'm sure that the yellow one wasn't the nicest yellow, but it worked, right?
Yeah.
I think the sash just works. You've got to have a sash.
If not every year. The one down the middle on a white shirt, that's what I thought.
I like the horizontal one.
You do?
Yeah.
So you like it horizontal, you like it down the middle, and you like it sash.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the trouble. That's
we were told there was only so much you could do with
sash. But that's the trouble for Steve Parrish and the team that come up with these things, isn't it? There's four of us who want different kits sitting around the table.
That's
so
true.
It's impossible to come up with a kit that everyone
Although having said that, the home shirt seems to be sort of universally welcome. We've got the boroughs on the back, which is a nice touch.
The boroughs that meet in Crystal Palace Park, and all the boroughs of South London.
Yeah,
four people in Sutton start going on about. It.
it's really nice. Yeah. Okay, right. Last few questions then. From Fog Dentum.
All right, Hi Fog.
He says, "Are we going to win the league now?"
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Every year from now on.
The Europa
and
League.
And the Champions League. Yeah.
The Club World Cup. We're
on, like, there are a few people that sort of talked about, like, what now in terms of aims. So Luke Brennan.
Right, Luke.
Has said, how do we break into the next level? How do we go from barely surviving to the next level and stay in the upper half of the league?
By hiring Frank De Boer.
That's one way towards it. Yeah.
Okay, I kind of thought I had a question, but I don't. But my question on that would be, what is the aim then for De Boer?
Champions.
No, I think he said it himself, to make us a solid. I mean, the thing is, with the players that we've got, and Mo, you talk to a lot of football fans outside the top six. The players that we got are really good players. We ended the season with a really good squad. Even if we didn't bring anybody else in, you'd expect something like De Boer to get us mid-table top half. I think first,
I'm putting money on us qualifying for the Europa League.
I think top first.
I was going to do it under Sam anyway. Well, I definitely
not being in the relegation struggle would be
because
somehow we've contrived every season to end up in a relegation struggle.
It's got to be turning around home form, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, again, that's something De Boer talked about as well.
But every manager's talked about that, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but every manager hasn't been Frank De Boer.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think
winning at home more than about five times a year would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The next question is from, Demetriou Hamandashi.
All right, Demetriou
Hamandashi.
They put Premier League table prediction directly linked to the new man in charge. No fence sitting.
Ninth.
Seventh.
Seventh?
Yep.
Tenth.
I predict our highest ever Premier League finish. I predict.
Which would be ninth and up, wouldn't it?
Ninth and up.
I think if Allardyce had been in charge, I'd be saying tenth, ninth.
Yeah.
Does it not feel like we're getting a bit carried away a bit?
No.
No. What? Hoping to finish mid-table in the Premier League?
I don't know.
That's
your version of getting carried away. Let's hope to finish 10th.
Oh, we beat the league.
It's just more the last time we were all saying stuff like this. We were saying our top 10 were kicking on. You know, we had that horrible dip under Pardew. And I'm not comparing Pardew to De Boer. Of course not. But I feel like we need to do it in stages, you know, to build on. Get away from the relegation zone, build on that, improve the home form, and then you start talking about
13th. So in 4 years' time, we say 10th.
Would 13th be a disaster this season?
No.
No,
it'd be fine, wouldn't it? It'd be progress.
We finished 14th just now, didn't we?
Did we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we finished 14th.
15th, 14th? Yeah, right.
Yeah, we finished 14th. We don't exist as a club in a vacuum. It's not a reset every time we get a new manager. Everyone is very starkly aware of everything that happened under Pardew and all the problems that we had. Everyone knows that. Steve Parrish has said himself that he's trying to fix things up, and he made a few, you know, he had a few foresights. But Frank De Boer is, again, a different league. And I don't think we should be questioning the aspiration to finish top 10, top 8, because I had a really salient point at the beginning of this, but I've kind of tore my way away from it.
Because Brighton will be below us. That'll push us up a place.
Yeah, we don't.
We don't
exist in a vacuum. And as well as that will be in recent memory, so will the fact that we beat four of the top six or whatever it was in as many
weeks. Also, I mean, having said that, much as I think De Boer's a brilliant choice, I don't think we should all be expecting that we're going to win our first 7-8 games.
No, that's kind of the point.
I think we should kick off if we don't.
No, if we end mid-table, but we see progress and we see youngsters coming through and we see interesting players being bought, then that's great. Because that's what we haven't seen since we got promoted is that level of progress. We've said that since, you know, for the very first season, well, let's hope that we get a bit of progress next season. Yeah. And it's not happened. If anything, we've gone backwards during every season.
This already is progress because we've got managers to have a pre-season for the first time in a while. We're not getting rescue managers.
I still can't believe that. And I guess that what you're saying there, Kevin, that would be the next level, the quote-unquote next level.
And back to what Kev said earlier about Pardew is not the man to change your whole playing strategy and philosophy. He's not. He's from Yeovil's back youth team. And Frank De Boer's from Ajax. It's like he's been brought up to.
It's Frank De Boer
already.
Frank De Boer.
Compare the squads we've got, the squad we have pre-season now for De Boer to work with, to the one we had this time last season that Pardew had to work with. Compare those squads. There's already a huge difference.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point as well. Because you look at, I don't know that much about Dutch football, about Ajax's squad. Saw them in the Europa League final. The two centre-backs, 17 and 21, looked great. But I imagine Frank de Boer, apart from his brief period at Inter Milan, Frank de Boer was working with better players than he worked with at Ajax. Some of them, more, you know, Zahar, Benteke, Milivojevic. Dubai, these are all good, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hennessy.
Oh, good job, Street's not here. Mark Skeens says, now that we've got a manager whose name means butter in French.
Does it?
He's a bit sort of.
No, we're letting everybody off today. That's fine. Yeah.
Mark says, Mark says, as a result of this.
Making up a language.
Francois de Boer, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Are food questions permissible on the pod again?
These are the puns. Okay.
Well, with that in mind, Panda Arms 101 says, Proffages, strip waffle, croquette, or bitterballen. What are the pod's favourite Dutch snacks? And he's also put, totally won't read this out daily, will you? So,
weed. I like
hash cakes.
Yeah, I like. I do like a croquette.
Yeah. What is it? Croquette. What is it?
What's a croquette?
It was like a croquette, like a normal one.
It's like, you know that game.
What do you mean a normal one?
No, I mean, it's like a normal Dutch one might be different.
You know, croquet that you play when you're not playing. never played it. Croquette's like a little rolled potato. Like
potato-y thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Do we know what the other ones are?
What? Yeah. Read them out again.
Bitterballen.
Yeah.
I can imagine there's bitter balls. We love a bit of bitter balls.
Strip waffle.
Waffles.
Yeah.
Okay. Proffages.
Profiteroles.
Yeah. Profiteroles, yeah.
Okay. Well, they all sound nice.
What Google Translate?
No desserts.
Can't be bothered. Final question from Lewis Wilmot.
Football golf.
Says,
yeah.
If Kev does end up swimming in the Thornton Heath pond, will Street represent him in court on public nudity charges? Did you say you would do this again or something?
He said it in Dutch.
I tweeted in Dutch today. Did that you? I would, yeah. That would be my get out clause, that it was in High Dutch.
But if it was mistranslated. What was the...
Well, why? You were playing football golf. I tweeted, because you noticed in the past 2 years I've tweeted about Adebayor and Benteke.
Yeah.
Mm. I tweeted that if we finished in Dutch, that we finished in the top eight.
Finished in Dutch.
Yeah.
Nice.
I will tweet, yeah.
So what were the previous Rice ones?
Rice, that's good. Dutch food's a lot of Indonesian imported food in Dutch cooking. Nice. Yeah.
Maybe we can try some on future pods, we can get some Dutch food in. What were your previous bets?
I just said Adebayor and Benteke.
20 goals a season.
Adebayor would score 10 and Benteke 20. So.
He got 17.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Adebayor got 17 goals.
No, yeah, Benteke, you weren't far off.
Adebayor said it was the worst decision he ever made coming to Palace. Funny enough, strangely enough, we felt similarly about, yeah.
Just, lads, to you, shall we?
Yes.
Okay. Shall we do a part three?
Nah.
We sort of preview the Asian Cup thing, or should we just wrap it up there?
Nah,
just
gonna wrap it up. We're going to win the Asian Cup, we're going to win the league.
Yeah. We're in the Asian Cup, that's good enough. That's part three.
Systems Trophy. Finally.
We could do it briefly.
We're playing Liverpool, West Brom and Leicester in Hong Kong.
We'll be in Liverpool and then West Brom or Leicester.
Yeah, that's done.
West Brom or Leicester.
Hang on. This is all pod chat.
We've previewed it. No, let's finish on a high.
This is good.
Frank,
I'll just chuck this in. Fine. Okay, fine. So that was our really brief preview of the Asian Cup. And we might pod before that. I don't know. We might not.
We've already beat.
What, an Asian Cup pod special?
I don't know.
What are the chances of an Asian Cup pod special?
Well, stuff might happen. We might have signings. Some signings. Maybe we'll...
Endicott may have recovered from Glastonbury there by then.
It's end of June. We don't normally pod until then, start of August again. But should we come back in between? Maybe if some signings happen or something?
Why not?
Yeah, we can come back after the Asian Cup and talk about
winning the Asian Cup. That much, just say so.
Let's just come back.
Okay, all right. So that is our manager special podcast done with Frank de Boer. Still can't believe it. New Palace manager. Kevin, thank you.
You're welcome.
Ed.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah, good. Jesse.
My pleasure.
Thanks for coming back on. And thanks for listening. So we will see you again on the next pod, whenever it is.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Podcast Network.